Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Liz Stefanini.
We all face storms. Our society is in the middle of a huge storm caused by the coronavirus and all of the uncertainty and fear that it brings. But people face individual storms as well in their life. And today's podcast is a sermon that I preached on Luke chapter 8, verse 22 to 25 in response to this. So I hope that God will comfort, strengthen, challenge, and encourage you through this message from God's Word. Well, what you have in front of you is a picture of you'll see it in a second, the Sea of Galilee, and that's the setting for today. But before we go there, let me tell you this story. There was a new airplane on its very first flight, and it was full of reporters and journalists. And just a short while after takeoff, the captain's voice was heard over the speakers. "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to be your pilot for this historic first flight. I can tell you that the flight is going well. Nevertheless, I have to tell you about a minor inconvenience that has occurred. If you're on the right side of the plane, those passengers can look out and see that the closest engine is slightly vibrating. That shouldn't worry you, because this engine or this plane is equipped with four engines, and we're flying along smoothly at an acceptable altitude. And as long as you're looking out that right-hand side, you might look at the other engine on that side. You will notice that it is glowing, or more precisely, one would say burning. That shouldn't worry you either, since this plane is designed to fly with just two engines if necessary, and we are maintaining an acceptable altitude and speed. As long as we're looking out the plane, those of you on the left side shouldn't worry if you look out your side of the plane and notice that one engine that's supposed to be there is missing. It fell off about 10 minutes ago. Let me tell you that we're amazed that the plane is doing so well without it. However, I will call your attention to something a little more serious. Along the center aisle, all the way down the plane, a crack has appeared. And some of you, I suppose, might be able to look through that crack and may even notice the waves of the Atlantic Ocean below. In fact, those of you with very good eyesight may be able to notice a small lifeboat that was thrown from the plane. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you will be happy to know that your captain is keeping an eye on the progress of the plane from that lifeboat below. Now, sometimes it seems like life is similar to that plane flight. Everything around us seems to be falling apart, and the person who's supposed to be in charge seems to be as remote as the captain in the raft on the ocean far below. But God gives us assurances in His Word that such is not the case. And some of those assurances come from our biblical text for today, Luke 8, 22 to 25. It's not going to tell us that there are no problems for the Christian, but that God is accomplishing something in and through them rather than being removed like that pilot floating in the lifeboat, unable to help his passengers. Well, there, as I mentioned, is the picture of the Sea of Galilee. It's a body of water that's always been used for fishing and later also for transport. And under Roman rule, during the early Christian era, hundreds of vessels sailed these waters. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long, 7 miles across, and reaches a maximum depth of about 150 feet. And Jesus and his disciples were constantly crisscrossing these waters in small boats, maybe about the size of that one that's pictured there. Well, let's look at Luke 8, 22 to 25, which records one of those times. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they ask each other, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Well, this is the painting by Rembrandt, who described what it may have looked like for them in that small boat. We certainly face storms that are unexpected. I mean, obviously, right now we're coming to you in the coronavirus situation, and no one expected this. We didn't know how to plan for it. We don't really know what to do with it. We don't know how long it's going to last, and it's creating a lot of anxiety and stress and problems. And that's definitely a storm. There are other storms that we face as well, aside from what all of society is facing. Maybe health problems or health uncertainty. Maybe broken or strained relationships. Maybe it's a job loss. Maybe you've been betrayed by friends or you're facing financial struggles. Maybe it's the illness or death of a family member or a close friend. We at Harvest this week lost one of our dear friends and brothers, Dean Seidel, unexpectedly. And it was sudden. It was unexpected. It was hard. And so there's just a lot of hurt and a lot of wondering, perhaps, what do we do in situations like this? And where is God when we need him the most? Because we really need him a lot right now. Well, as we look at Luke chapter 8, there are four miracles that occur in this chapter. Now, Luke's gospel is not just a random collection of sayings and miracles of Jesus. Luke has a plan. He's going somewhere with this. And I think this group of miracles in Luke chapter 8 actually serves to start narrowing Jesus' audience some. You see, earlier the miracles that he did that Luke recorded were done before great crowds. But these in Luke 8 are not. And especially this first one, this first miracle that we just read about, there's only an audience of 12, his 12 disciples, because he wants to teach them a valuable life lesson. Let's look into God's word. Let's see what that lesson is, and let's see how it applies to us. So we're going to look today at what Jesus' actions in this storm prove. And there are three things that his actions demonstrate. The first one is that he is in control even when storms threaten us. Jesus is in control even when we have storms. Now, verse 22 said a very typical thing. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over the other side of the lake." They got into a boat and set out. And verse 23 says, as they sailed, he fell asleep. Again, not atypical. Calm sea, he's sleeping in the boat. But a squall came down on the lake, so the boat was being swamped. Now, the Sea of Galilee has always been known for its sudden storms. It lay 700 feet below sea level in a shallow basin that was surrounded by steep mountains. So it was very common for intense wind storms to be funneled down into the water in sudden, violent squalls. And apparently, as the cold air from the eastern side of the hills collided with the warm air over the water, boom, they had what forecasters today, meteorologists, call a weather event. Now think about it. Nobody, including Jesus, forewarned the disciples, "Hey, you're going to have a storm today. You're going to have a problem today. You're going to encounter something that you're not planning for today." No, Jesus didn't say that. He just said, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." They had done that a million times. They knew the possibility of facing a storm. They were experienced fishermen, but Jesus did not try, apparently, to prepare them in advance, at least not explicitly with a statement to that effect. And I think that's the way storms in life are. Rarely do we have advance notice. We don't get emails or texts that say, hey, you're going to face a storm Tuesday at 5 o'clock. And while we may, on the one hand, think, oh, that would be nice, on the other, it'd probably worry us to death if we knew what storm was coming. So we don't have advance notice. Also, Jesus' presence in the boat with them didn't keep the storm away. They still experienced an old-fashioned high winds and waves storm. And this is an important point to remember. The fact that God is with us is not a guarantee that we will be free from difficult times. Look what happens in verse 23. As they're sailing, he falls asleep. The squall came down on the lake, and the boat was being swamped. In other words, it was filling up with water. And what's Jesus doing? Here's the boat filling up with water. They're all hyper and concerned and nervous and worried, and Jesus is asleep. That's pretty amazing. Well, I wonder how many of you have been deep sea fishing. I can't say what preachers like to say. Yes, I see that hand. I've been out a few times deep sea fishing. I remember one time my son Justin and my father-in-law and I went. We were on a family vacation on the coast, and we decided to go like for a half-day trip. It wasn't going to be a full day all the way out to the Gulf Stream, but it was going to be a half day of deep sea fishing. And they paired us up with, I think, two or three other people. I know one of them was a young couple that was on their honeymoon. Well, we didn't actually encounter a storm, but the weather forecast was for a storm to be coming in. And we were wondering, hey, are we going to still go out, you know, in light of this? But the captain said, no, we'll just go out there, we'll get our fishing done, and then we'll come back. And man, those waves were rocking. We were just rocking back and forth. And I felt so sorry for that lady, the new bride, because she was sick the entire time. I mean, the whole half day she was nauseated. And of course, they don't turn around for one person in that sort of thing. So that's the closest thing I've experienced to being where it's rocking back and forth. But even in that, we didn't fear that we didn't see water coming into the boat like they did. And Jesus is sleeping. I think he makes a point by that. He was in total control. He knew that, but they had to learn that. So that's the first thing that Jesus' action in this storm proves, is that he's in control even when storms threaten us. Secondly, he does hear our cries even when our faith is weak. Now, of course, we want to have faith, and of course, we want our faith to grow. All of us do. But even when our faith is weak, God still hears us. And I hope that comforts you today. Maybe you feel like, man, I don't have much faith. My faith is weak. Let me tell you, God still hears you. It's not really about the amount of your faith, but it's about the God to whom you are calling. Verse 24, the disciples went to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up, rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. And then he asked his disciples a question. Where is your faith? We're going to drown. We're going to drown. These experienced fishermen, you know, probably rough, callous guys, this wasn't their first boat ride. They had been through this. I'm sure they had been through various storms, but we're going to drown. And the word that's used in the original there means to be lost or to perish, to be ruined or to die or pass away. It's like literally they're saying to Jesus, Jesus, we're going to be destroyed right here. But after Jesus calms the storm, he asked them, why didn't you trust me? Where is your faith? Now, Jesus does not imply that they have no faith. It's just that in this instance, it became weak. And, you know, sometimes people who are strong in faith in the past, when a storm comes, our faith gets weak. Well, Jesus still answered their cry for help, even though their faith was struggling. So again, we're learning that he is control even when storms threaten us. He does hear our cries even when our faith is weak. And now the third point that he wants to reveal to us is that God reveals himself and his power to us even when we face adversity. Verse 25, the second part of verse 25. In fear and amazement, they ask one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Now, it's interesting. The climax of this story is not when the storm is calm. I used to think that growing up hearing this story, like, okay, they get on the boat, they have this terrible storm, Jesus gets up and he calms the storm, and that's a great story, and it is. But that's still not the climax, as important as that was. The climax comes here in verse 25 with this question. They ask each other, "Who is this?" Now, for the disciples, adversity has become opportunity. Their bad situation has given way to something more important. It's an opportunity for them to discover who Jesus really is. You know, it was great for them to be able to be saved physically. It was great for them for the storm to be calmed. But it was more important for them, and even greater, for them to find out who that man was in the boat with them. It was great for them to learn more about who Jesus really was. So when they ask, "Who is this?" they noted, "He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." So what do Jesus' actions reveal about him? Well, they reveal that he's God. Jesus is not just God's son and somehow lesser than God. He is God the Son. He is equal with God. He has existed eternally with God the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now think about it. In the Old Testament, who has power over the seas? It's God the Father. Psalm 89, verses 8 and 9, the psalmist said, "O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the raging sea." Or the surging sea, "When its waves mount up, you still them." Now, how ironic it was for fishermen in the first century to turn to a religious teacher like Jesus to rescue them on the seas. No, they're not just turning to a religious teacher. They're not just turning to a good man. This isn't an ordinary teacher. Now, an ordinary teacher could describe those waves, perhaps. But God, in the flesh, could calm those waves. So this trial, this unexpected storm, is an opportunity for them to learn that Jesus is God. They also learned something else it reveals about Jesus is that he cared about their helpless situation. And he could solve it when they call on him. Now, there's another Old Testament parallel here. I call your attention to Psalm 107, verses 23 to 30. In Psalm 107:23, the psalmist writes, "Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven." There in the Old Testament, it's talking about times when people on the sea were troubled, and they called on God to rescue them, and he did still the storm and bring them to their destination safely. That's what God the Father can do. Wow. God the Father rules over the sea, and guess what? So does Jesus Christ. God saves man, humanity, from desperate situations when they call on him, and so does Jesus. Jesus is God the Son. Jesus is God in the flesh. He's God whom we can see. And he's not just a powerful being, but he's a close being, a caring being, a God who was near. He was there in the boat. Yeah, he seemed to be sleeping. He seemed to be unconcerned or unaware. But when they called on him, they found out that he was aware. And they found out that he could calm that storm. So these disciples were learning what the psalmist affirmed long before them, which we covered a couple weeks ago here at Harvest from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Well, as we start to wrap up our time today, let's acknowledge something. Trials and tribulations are part of the Christian life. In fact, you might even call them necessary. We don't like that. They're not something to dread, but 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." Commentator Michael Wilcock summarizes this event as follows, and I think it's very good. "The disciples of Christ are neither free from tribulation nor helpless in tribulation, but victorious over tribulation." So it's not either extreme. It's not like there's no tribulation. We're not free from tribulation, but we're not helpless in tribulation, but we can be victorious over tribulation. So let's talk about that for a minute. How can we be victorious when storms come, when there's trials, when there's trouble? How can we survive storms? And I want to just point out three quick things. Number one, acknowledge the supernatural nature of Jesus. And let me stop there for a second before I go to number two. Some of you might be watching this and your view of Jesus has been, he is a good teacher. He's a religious man. I hope that you see today from this passage that Jesus does the same things that God the Father does. He does not only the same things, but he does the things that only God can do. Only God can control nature. Only God can create. Only God can do those things. And Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. And the amazing thing about him is that he came and died on the cross for you and me. We had done wrong. We had sinned. We were separated from God. And God said, "I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to send my Son." So God took the form of a human being, fully human and fully divine at the same time, in the person of Jesus. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He went to the cross to pay our price, to bring us back to God. And that's what he wants to do for you. So if you are out there and you're listening to this, and you feel this need for God, this need to be back close to God or close to God, for your sins to be forgiven, to have eternal life, that's what Jesus did by paying your price on the cross. And I trust that today you'll repent of your sins. You'll acknowledge that you're wrong. You've been wrong. You've done wrong. And you need Christ, and you put your faith totally in him. They put their faith in Jesus to save them from the storm, the physical storm. I hope that you'll put your faith in him to trust you as Savior. Well, so that's number one. Acknowledge the supernatural nature of Jesus. Number two, acknowledge the presence of Jesus with you. It's always good to stop for a minute and just realize he's here with me. He's here with me in this storm, just like they did. And then number three, call on Jesus for strength. Now, like the disciples, when we face a storm, we want to know, is God asleep at the wheel? Where is God when we need him the most? Are my circumstances off of God's radar screen right now? Now, we may not face the same weather storms they faced, but we can probably relate to the feelings of hopelessness that they experienced, questions about this thing that Jesus has led them into, especially, again, in times like this coronavirus, or when there's loss or bereavement. Our hearts hurt. We wonder, can God help us? Maybe at times of uncertainty. Maybe your life has been thrown in a turmoil. Well, when we wonder those things, we need to be reminded of the truth of God's Word. And here is God's Word for us today. More important than the size of the storm is who's in the storm with you. More important than the size of the storm is who is in the storm with you. Who's in that boat with you? Jesus is in that boat with you. Jesus is in that storm with you if you're His. If you're a follower of Christ, He's with you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. God's care for us never takes a break, even when He doesn't seem to be particularly close at the moment. In his book, Soul Salsa, Leonard Sweet tells the story of a tribe of Native Americans that had a unique practice for their young braves. On the night of a boy's 13th birthday, they took him into a dense forest so he would spend the night in the middle of this forest all by himself. And until then, he had never been away from the security of his family and tribe. But on this night, they blindfolded him. They took him miles away. And when they took the blindfold off, he found himself in the middle of thick woods by himself all night long. Every time a twig snapped, he probably visualized an animal ready to pounce. Every time an animal howled, he imagined a wolf leaping out in the darkness. Every time the wind blew, he wondered what more sinister sound it masked. No doubt it was a terrifying night for many. And what must have seemed like an eternity finally passed, and the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers and trees and the outline of the path. And then, to his utter amazement, he saw the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was the boy's father. He had been there all night long. Now, Leonard Sweet draws this conclusion. A sovereign, powerful God is always present with His children, whether in the middle of the forest, at night, or on the rough sea. His presence may be unseen, but it is more real than life itself. I'm happy to report to you today from God's Word, more important than the size of the storm is who's in the storm with you. Let me pray briefly. Lord, we pause. And I urge you just to pause there as you're listening for a minute and just reflect on God and His presence. We do pause. We thank you that you are with us in our storms. I pray that our dear sister Barb Seidel will realize that today. Others facing loss, bereavement, uncertainty, fear will realize that today, that you are with your people. And we thank you and praise you for that. And I pray that anybody who doesn't know you yet personally will call on you as Savior, so they will be in your family too. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's the end of the sermon, but if you want to hang on for just two or three more minutes, I want to just share a couple of important things that are happening at Harvest. We are having Good Friday and Easter virtually, it looks like. But I want to invite you to be a part of those services. Next week, we'll make more announcements about it. But even think now, who, especially for Easter, who might you invite to join us on this electronic method, this virtual method. Maybe you know some people that aren't Christians yet, and we're going to send you an e-vite or some kind of email that all you can do, we'll need to do is just send it to them and invite them to join and listen in. And we're definitely going to present the gospel and the good news of the resurrection. That's just 2 weeks from Sunday, and I hope you'll take a part of that. Some of you are have followed Christ. You've trusted Christ. You're ready to be baptized. We're going to have a baptism, not as scheduled on April 5th, but go on and send those forms in. And also on April 19th, we are going to continue for our class for Exploring Church Membership. If you're visiting Harvest and want to consider becoming a member, we urge you to do that. You can contact Nikki at harvestcharlotte.com, my great assistant, or on our website, and you can get a link to all of those things. And obviously, you can link there to log into our virtual meeting. The questions for our virtual meeting that we're going to look at this Sunday, March 29th, are these. Why is it easy to know in our hearts or in our minds that God is always with us, but not rest on that in our hearts and struggle with anxiety or fear? Number two, we're going to ask you to make an acrostic from the word storms for all the six of those letters, S-T-O-R-M-S. Try to list a characteristic of God or maybe a Bible verse that helps you in difficult circumstances. And if you listen to this early enough, you might want to go on and do that before the virtual fellowship, and then we'll share those. And then number three, the third question is, what has God revealed to you about himself from his word as a result of going through what we have been experiencing lately? Thanks for joining.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministries, or find out how you can donate to support the podcast.